From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique, one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today we are joined by Bella Olson. She is the 11-year-old founder of Avocado Awesomeness, a YouTube channel dedicated to all things fun, creative, and just a little bit extra. Bella is a slay Brazilian-American fluent in both Portuguese and English. A musical theater enthusiast, she has brought characters to life in The Lion King, Descendants, Matilda, and many more. And she can perform the Hamilton soundtrack start to finish without missing a beat. I don't know that we'll do that today, but maybe some other time. It's going to be a fun conversation. Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, Bella.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for wanting to be here. Before we get into your writing, tell us a bit about Avocado Awesomeness.
So Avocado Awesomeness is my YouTube channel, and it's just like about all things fun, as you told before. It has like slime and it has fidgets, and I talk about book stuff a lot, and it's just like a place where you can go to just get really fun content.
Oh, I love that. You must love doing that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you come up with the name?
I don't know. I was just like 7 years old when I started, and just like Avocado Awesomeness sounded cool at the time. So I guess that's how I got the idea for Avocado Awesomeness.
Well, it's still cool. How's that? So you obviously like being creative and being on stage and musicals. Tell us a little bit about that. When did you first realize that this was your thing?
Definitely when I started writing Trapped, I was like, this is cool, but it's kind of boring. Like, it kind of feels like schoolwork. But later, like a month after I started writing it, I'm like, wow, this is so fun, and I love doing it, and it's something that I love doing. So I feel like a month into writing the book, I just like really love to do that, and I like building words and worlds, and just really cool.
Oh my gosh, it's just endless. You don't know where this is going to go. So this book, Trapped, where did it come from? Where did the idea come from?
So the idea originally came from my like love of reading, and I was just like really little, and I don't know what was running through my head at that point, but I just really loved to read. So I was like, oh, what if I wrote a book? What if I did this? So I started writing, and here I am now. It's about to be published.
I know, pretty soon. You did some journaling too. Did that help lead you to writing this book, do you think?
I wouldn't say I the journaling helped, because the journaling was mostly like drawing characters. So okay. I would say probably the drawing of the characters helped me with like character development and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would say it helped a significant amount.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe give us a peek into the book Trapped. You don't have to give any spoilers, but just give our listeners an idea of what the book is about.
I have it right next to me.
I love that. Purple.
And it's like, it has a bunch of just random chapters and fun characters. Like, there's this one character named Rocco the Magic Chicken, and he is this magic chicken who shoots Fruit Loops out of his ears and loves to read. And he, like me, he loves to read, and he can fly. And there's other characters. The main character's name is Ava, and she basically is like the main character, and she gets trapped in this science facility. And the main premise of my book is like, weird is the new cool, and that you don't have to listen to what other people say. You just gotta be yourself, you know?
I do know. Weird is the new cool. I actually really like that, because I've always in my life used the word weird, and I always have to explain to people that for me that meant cool. I mean, it was a cool thing to be weird, because it means that you weren't just like everybody else. What does that mean to you? Was that something personal to you? Or did you see it happening to other children? Why is that something for you?
Yeah, so I get called weird all the time, and at first I thought it was like something that wasn't really meant to be something good, but now I just see it as a compliment. I'm just like, oh, thanks you. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. I'm super weird. I'm unique and I'm different. So, yeah, I feel like
Yeah.
it is a new cool in many ways.
It is. That resonates with me. I think I'm kind of weird as well. So, what do you hope that the folks that read your book, and maybe not just children, but anyone who reads your book, what do you leave them with? What do you want them to feel or think?
I would really want them to feel like they belong and that they like don't have to do it like when they're always brave. They don't have to always be brave. They can do it scared, and there's not alone, and that they don't have to like be what other people tell them to be, that they can be who they want to be themselves and who they are. So
And I'm sure writing this book probably helped you sort through some of that for yourself too.
Definitely, yeah. It helped a lot to write this book. And just like I just publishing it and putting it out to the world helped a lot with like my being brave and not doing it when I feel ready, but when I am ready. And just like doing it scared just really helped and influenced on my book.
You know, a lot of creative people, or maybe just people, certain people's personalities, they love the creative process of creating something. But then with a book, then you've got all of that minutia, like editing. How did that process go? Did you do the editing? Did you work with an editor? How was that for you?
Yeah, so I published with Simon and Schuster. So my editor Leah Benson, she definitely helped with the editing because like all authors do, they all go through a round of editing, and it's just like basically they write the book, but then the editors just like help them edit, and she would send me her thoughts and I would incorporate them and correct them in my own words and just make them my own way. And then she would just send me her thoughts and I would look them over.
Did you always agree with the thoughts? And if you didn't, did you have to say, "Hey, look, no, this is the way I want this to roll"?
Definitely. There was this one time where, I wrote this part into the book and it was just Gary and he's like a dinosaur and he lives in Bella Island, and Bella Island is this like place of just weirdness and absurdness and just all things weird, and Gary was one of the characters and he's like a cartoon dinosaur guy, and Leo was like, no, this is fantasy and a sci-fi book, we have to like take him out. And I'm like, well, no, he's the one who carries the entire plot of the book. Weird is new cool. So I like fought for Gary, and then I actually had to rewrite him as like a science project and not a like a fantasy creature, so he could stay in the book.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot to that because obviously an editor has been around the track and they know what sells, but then yet as a creative, as an artist, as an author, you had a vision for this as well. So that's an interesting line for you to walk, and especially being a young person, and then dealing with an adult. I think that's another dynamic that got thrown into it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with it. Because Leah Benson was used to working with adults because she hasn't worked with a lot of kids. Like, she told me only a couple of kids she's worked with. So maybe the fact that she was an adult and I was a kid kind of changed how we talked and how we like work through different things.
Was there an adult with you that helped shepherd that, or were you pretty much dealing with this editor on your own?
I was pretty much dealing with it on my own. I mean, my mom was kind of there, but I was mostly doing the editing.
I love that. I love that. So when she would send back the suggestions, then you had to sit down and re-edit on your end, yes? And rewrite.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you feel impatient with that, or did you learn some patience or figure, hey, this is part of the process of writing a book. I need to sit down and focus on that.
Well, it was definitely a mixture of both because at some moments I was like, okay, yeah, I'm done with this. But then I still kept going, and there's others where I'm like, okay, let's do this, an hour of editing, let's go. And I just had snacks and it was all right.
You shot some Fruit Loops out of your ears and you just kept writing, right? Sorry, I'm getting weird now.
it's fine.
So I love that you were able to work with this editor and still kind of keep the basic premise that you wanted as well. You talked about earlier that you like to make up words.
I love to make up words. I have so many words. There's this one word called hungryfied, and it's hungry and terrified. And then there's phantastum amazing, and hungryfied is in the book.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I want to make it a word in a dictionary, but we might not get there, but hopefully we will. I've made up so many other words. Boosty, high low, which is a mixture of high and hello, schlay, so many others that are in the Balinese dictionary.
Yes, that's another book that's coming out, right? Hungryfied. What does that mean? So you say you're hungry and terrified. When would that happen?
That would happen like in the book. Ava keeps an emergency BLT sandwich, and just in case she's hungry and terrified at the exact same time.
Okay. All right. Did your editor appreciate that word? Was there a suggestion to get rid of that?
Yes, there was definitely a suggestion to get rid of it. Then I'm like, oh heck no, I ain't getting rid of my precious hungryfied.
So it was important to keep that in the book. I think in some cases it probably helps you make a point where there's, or maybe you could use other words that are mainstream, but I think something like that might even stick in the reader's head and make much more of an impact.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I thought too.
So you said there was a moment a couple times where you thought, "Oh, I can't do this. I quit," but you didn't.
Yes, I was always like, oh my gosh, it's editing. I sat for over 180 hours editing over the summer, and it was so long. In some parts I was like,
Oh.
I wanted to like die, but I kept going, and now you can pre-order it on www.bellaolson.com, and it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And you, so it's on your website, bellaolson.com. It's coming out a couple of weeks, right?
April 21st.
Yeah, so that's pretty soon. Are there any sequels coming along, or are you working on any other books?
I'm working on a book called Diaries of a Magic Chicken, and it's focusing on a side character named Rocco, the one who shoots Fruit Loops out of his ears. And basically he's just the side character in this book, but in the next book, Diaries of a Magic Chicken, he'll be the main character, and he goes to Broadway in that one. I am not sure I can say anything else about that, but you gotta read it to find out when it's out.
That's right. You've got to write it for us to find out first, right? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you weren't thwarted by the 180 hours of editing and said, I give up. I'm glad you're going to write more. I had some questions that were sent to me, and there's one I particularly like is why do you think pens and notebooks are so exciting to you?
I don't know. I have a lot of pens and a lot of notebooks. I literally have like an entire shelf and it's just a bunch of notebooks. And then I have pens everywhere. I just have way too many pens and notebooks, and I fill them with like characters and just like random words that I like to do. And I just like to make random worlds of characters. Like, I have Boba bunnies, and I have Pingo pigs, and I have like other crazy animals. I have Polly dog. I have Giraffro with an afro. The other ones that are just like, wow.
I love that. I'm that way with office supply stuff. I have more office supplies that I will never use. If I see like really deep purple file folders that look like big gumballs, I'm like, oh, I love that color. I'm going to buy that box of file folders. I'm not using them. So when I saw that question, it kind of resonated with me and my office supply junkie, I guess. That's good though. You're getting writing little knickknacks in each one of them. You never know where those are going to lead. I also heard about your puppet shows. So in third grade, you had to ask a teacher to if you could do weekly puppet shows. Tell me about that.
Me and my friend Rocco, he is real Rocco,
The
not
real
magical
one.
Rocco. Me and my friend Rocco used to do puppet shows every Wednesday in my third grade ca classroom, and we had to ask our teacher if we could do puppet shows, and we would just make puppet shows every art class. We would like make all the puppets, and we had so many puppets. Sadly, they got lost while I was moving. So sad, but it's okay because I make a bunch of characters and now they're memories, so it's okay.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, that must have been sad to lose them, but maybe somebody else found them and is just so enjoying them. You have no idea where they might be. That's kind of fun to think about. That's a whole story there about all the kids that might have found the puppets and what they might be doing with them. And then I can't even say it, ventriloquism. So you are a ventriloquist?
Yes, I am a ventriloquist. Like not really though. That's not actually my profession, but I self-taught myself ventriloquism, and I used to do it a lot. I do it a little less now because I have my writing. But I just have a puppet and I just do it at my camp for the talent show, and it's just really fun to do. So yeah, I do ventriloquism sometimes.
That is very cool. And what about kids at school? So when you're performing some of these things for them, what is their response? And how do you feel being a performer?
They usually love it. I mean, I recently did a Poster Malone concert, which is my band. It's called Poster Malone, and we're working on a vinyl. We're working on making a vinyl for Poster Malone, and we just did a concert a couple days ago, and that was really fun. Everybody loved it, and it's just like something fun to do.
All right, so this is new for me. I didn't know you had a band. Poster Malone. So who's in the band and what kind of music?
So Poster Malone is just like kind of this very absurd band with very absurd songs like Vegan Snow, Party with the Bubonic Plague. There's other songs. The tacos are coming. Don't throw people out the window. And then it's like the absurd music. My friend Rocco is in the band. I'm in the band. My friend Ophelia is also in the band. And we also have our brilliant stage crew.
What instruments?
So right now we have the saxophone, and the drums.
Okay, and then you sing? Are you the lead singer?
Me and Rocco sing.
Okay, and do you create all of the lyrics?
Yes, we create all the lyrics.
Okay. Oh my gosh, where can one find any of those? Are those posted publicly?
Oh, those are not posted publicly yet. Not yet, at least, but
Okay, that's coming.
something fun right now.
Oh my gosh, I can't. There's no end to what you're doing here. This is probably not enough hours in the day for you to even accomplish what's in your mind.
Yeah, definitely. There's a
So,
lot
puppet shows and writing, any similarities in that?
of yeah, I mean, you have to write a script for puppet shows, which me and Rocco used to write a lot, and you have to also have to write just like you have to write the book. So they're really similar, and I also like acting, which is also similar. In the way of performing the puppet shows and performing the musical theater. So, yeah.
I haven't had an opportunity to read your book. It's not out yet. But is there dialogue in your book?
Oh, yes, there's a lot of conversations
Okay.
in my book. It's like 90% conversations. There's more conversations than there are characters. So,
Okay. Yeah, I figured that you would be really good at writing dialogue. If you want to get into some absurd stuff, I bet you could really have fun with dialogue.
yeah, definitely.
So, do you do much reading? Do you have much time just to read?
Oh, I do a lot of reading. My favorite book right now is called The Forgotten Magic of Zoe Turner, and it's about a girl with anxiety disorder, and she finds a magic pencil, and like whatever she writes with the pencil like comes alive. Not really comes alive, but it like comes true, and it's super cool. And but at the end she finds out that she doesn't need magic to live, and it's really cool.
Reading books gets to take you somewhere else where you're not in reality all the time, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're obviously a like a playful kind of a person. You seem like you have fun and you like to play. Does
Yes.
how does that help you or does it hinder you in doing hard work like getting things done, like writing books and creating dialogue?
Not hinder me at all. It actually helps me because I absolutely love to create things. And for example, while I'm writing, creativity goes right into writing because like you literally just like translate the creativity onto the page, and then it's like woo.
Here we go. Do you have an audience when you're writing, or are you writing for yourself?
I'm writing for myself most of the time. Obviously, when I write the book, it comes out and it's for an audience, but usually I write for myself.
All right. Wow. Well, we have kind of skipped around all over the place here, but there's just so much to you that it's hard to stay in one spot. which I love about you. I really, really do. I so appreciate you. Is there anything that we missed that you wanted to highlight today, perhaps?
Not that I can think of right on the spot. I think you pretty much got everything.
Okay. All right. Well, so we can look forward to another book coming along. At some point in time, I would love to hear Poster Malone. I would actually love to see you with your puppets do some ventriloquism. Are any of those on your Avocado Awesomeness site?
No, I have some from when I was seven, but I
Hmm.
advise you not to watch those because yikes.
Because
But
you were seven, right? And that doesn't
I
count.
was seven. So I was like that. But I advise you not to watch those. I don't have any ventriloquism stuff lately, but I might post it in the future.
Okay, there you go. How did you come to memorize the whole Hamilton's soundtrack?
I just love it. So I just listen to it all the time. I went to the show 3 times already. I went to the show 3 times already. 3 or 4 times. I can't even remember. I've been to it so many times, but I just love Hamilton so much and I just listen to it all the time. So I feel like that's just what made me know it so well.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Especially if you love it, then it just be kind of becomes part of you. All righty. Well, we kind of hopped around and I feel good about this. So, where can folks go to find out more about you, get copies of this new book?
Well, I have an Instagram not run by me. It's run by my mom, but called the Bella Olson. My mom's name, not mine. Obviously Avocado Awesomeness. And then I have a website where you can pre-order my book, www.bellaolson.com. And then yeah, that's it.
Okay. So as we begin to part, is there any final words, any advice you would give to like a fellow human your age that maybe struggles with feeling included, or maybe someone who wants to be creative and is afraid to express themselves? Anything that you would say to them that might help them along?
Just like be yourself and don't let other people tell you who to be. That's pretty much the thing that I want to tell everyone.
All right. Well, I so appreciate you. BellaOlson.com, is that the website?
Yes, it's bellaolson.com.
BellaOlson.com. thank you so much. You are just so lively and inspiring. I feel like I want to go get to work here and get some creative things done. Thank you for sharing you with us, and we will keep our eyes on you, my friend.
Thank you.